God has a dream for me.
Welcome, everybody. It's the Happy Hour of Fun and Learn with Inner Garden with Reverend Barbara Leonard, your host. Her mission is to help every one of you to honor God by being everything you can ensure everyone that all spiritual roads lead to the one God. With each of us, the one God, we may differ, but just like a rose in any is still a rose. So God by any name is the same God, a God of love, a God of all life, through who we can celebrate our uniqueness and our oneness. And now here's your host, Reverend Barbara Leonard.
Dreams fade and die, and my heart cries, why, oh why? God finds a new dream for me.
Oh, hello there, it's us again. We're back. I have Reverend Jeannie Martin on the air with me. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Barbara. It's great to be online tonight.
Oh, good. We're having that fun and learn thing, and it's going to be a lot of fun and a lot of learning tonight. So I've written down the number here to remind myself to have the people get ready to call in because they might want to join into this conversation. It's 1-888-815-9756. And talk to Seth, and he'll put you through to us, and we'll be able to have a conversation. So that'll be great, eh, Jeannie?
Yeah, that's wonderful. I really would like to encourage them as well to call because it always adds a lot of juice to the program when others join us.
It does. I know the last time you and I talked about a subject that we're going to be dabbling in tonight until somebody brings up another subject. They wouldn't phone in because they were so interested in what was going on. They didn't want to miss anything.
Yeah.
So we'd like them to phone anyway. I'm sure that they won't miss much. Because
I wonder if a special hello to our friend Barry, who's out in Manitoba. He listens to us every time, and
how nice is that?
Yeah.
Hi, Barry.
Yeah,
and you give us a call and put in your 2 cents worth about what we're going to talk about. Jeannie, you were at the center on Wednesday, and you were talking to people about self-hypnosis.
Yes.
Yeah, and boy, I'll tell you, a lot of people were really excited about that, about how it can help them. Do you want to just kind of give a little idea about what self-hypnosis is? Because it is all self-hypnosis, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. And when people think about hypnosis, which I'd like to also say is transitioning into a name called quantum focus, which is really addresses the knowledge that we have about the mind in these days. So self-hypnosis is a process that's not too much unlike meditation, other than it's a process that takes you even deeper than you would normally go in a meditative process. And self-hypnosis starts out with an intention. So when you're guiding yourself into self-hypnosis, you would set the intention of what you'd like to speak to your subconscious mind about before you even begin. So we say the difference between meditation and hypnosis is the intention and a deeper focus process to get deeper and deeper into the mind.
Yeah, I actually look at meditation as talking to God or listening to God. Because when we pray and we talk to God, then if we meditate, we listen to God. And then when we're doing the self-hypnosis, we're making an intention on working with that energy.
Yeah, I agree. Sure.
Yeah.
And a lot of people may use meditation, different levels of meditation, just for the relaxation, which it obviously provides an incredible relaxation for the body, which then assists in any healing that needs to be done.
Well, for sure. Because you know what? The truth is, these days we're all so busy. Busy, busy, busy. We've got so much on our plate. And I don't know about you, but I find that if I can get even about 8 minutes of just downtime and put myself in that kind of space where I'm not hearing anything else around me. I'm just going into that little place of my own. And I can feel like I've had a shower and a good night's sleep.
Absolutely. And the reason for that is that our mind is constantly chattering. And it's either thinking about things or talking to itself or wandering off into the past and the future. And in meditation, in deep, deep meditation and self-hypnosis, you're able to shut that chatterbox down and give it a nice little well-deserved break. And allow the body to go into a healing without all of the thinking that goes on. So it is like having a night's sleep in a very, very short time.
Yeah, for sure. You know what I found really interesting this week was that, and I think you probably received it as well, there was an email that came through to do with everybody having all around the world a world prayer. You know, and even people who aren't really into religion are spiritual, and they are concerned about what's happening with our earth right now. And so we had an email come around, and I think pretty much everybody got it from Dr. Emoto, who does the talking with the water, you know, and then they freeze it and they look at what the results are under a microscope so that you can see the effects of what you say on the water. Now, I mean, that's just what we say. What happens when what we do is another whole thing. But they had this prayer that was really lovely, and everybody was supposed to kind of think at noon, their time, of, you know, coming together with the prayer and then repeating this over and over. And a lot of people, I think, kind of misunderstood that, Jeannie. I think they thought when they read it, it says, the water of Fujimi nuclear plant, so we are sorry to make you suffer, and please forgive us. And it sounded like people took that the Japanese were making an apology, and it wasn't really that at all. It was that we, as a group of human beings who have been on this planet for a very short time, and have actually abused a lot of the planet with the misuse that we use and the stuff we put in the water and all the rest of it. And it was just kind of making us conscious to talk to that water and say, we love that water. And one of my girls was a little bit taken back because somebody said to her, oh, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I can't do that. That's praying to the water. And I said, oh, well, I don't know where she got that. I would think it's praying to God to bring healing to the water. And if I said apology to you because God impressed me to say an apology to you, that doesn't mean that I'm, you know, that I'm actually worshiping you, does it?
No, absolutely not. And I'm looking here at there was two different versions of that prayer.
Yes.
And on Dr. Emoto's site here,
yeah,
it simply just says, water, we are sorry.
Yes.
Water, we love you. Water, we thank you. And water, we respect you. And anyone who's seen Dr. Emoto's lectures, the reason why he has put this here is because they have scientifically, absolutely, 100% proved that we do have an effect on water. And we're 75% to 80% water ourselves.
And most organisms have water.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So,
yeah,
you know, with our verbal things, we affect everything. We affect
right,
thoughts, which are energy as well.
Yeah, and it's not like praying, like you're praying to water. What you're doing is you're extending a blessing into it.
Yes, that's what I think. And I thought, isn't that sad? Because, you know, this particular person thought that people were meaning that we were supposed to pray to the water.
No,
I think we were supposed to be apologizing or, you know, saying we are the ones that are creating this
mm-hmm.
great problem, you know, and that we're so sorry. Because I imagine, like, right now, they're using a lot of that water to try to cool down and try to fight the condition that's there, and it's going back into the water, that radiation.
Absolutely.
You know, so what is going to happen to the fish and whatnot? Of course, we have to keep blessing that water and purify it, you know, as best we can.
Yeah, and it's no different than if, whether we're Christians or Muslims or Buddhists or whatever we are, whatever we call ourselves, it's no different than praying for someone.
No.
The earth has a consciousness. Mother Earth has a consciousness. And we are connected to that earth. So when we send that blessing, particularly when we do it all at the same time, and I'd encourage people to go on Dr. Emoto's site to get that time, we have an incredible effect, huge effect.
And you know, the thing is that words have, like we used to say, oh, sticks and stones will break my bones, words will never hurt me. That's not true. Words have a tremendous impact on children.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you keep telling your children negative things about themselves, and they will fulfill that prophecy.
Right, and just as we were mentioning the other night, it's like when you have a child, it's like having a brand new computer you just bought at Staples. And then you're programming information into that beautiful little brand new computer, and your words are set in there, just like a program running.
Yeah. And I found that really interesting, too, Jeannie, is the fact that we can be all grown up in many, many parts of our life, right?
Mm-hmm.
We can mature, we can, come up to our age level there, but sometimes there'll be a part of us that stays at 4 years old.
Yes.
Or stays down in a concept that is harmful to us. And I thought that was a good way to relate it, is that you basically talking to that, well, we've heard about people talking to the inner child, but you're talking to that portion of your concepts, and you're basically talking to that concept and saying, you know, why are you here? Like, what are you doing for this person?
Right. Right. And in hypnosis, just a quick way to sort of see the picture of that, is that, let's just say, like I said, we are made up of many different parts. We play different roles. When I'm a grandma, I'm not the same as I am when I go to work. And of course, I'm the same person, but a different part of me comes out to live in the moment that I'm living in. And so when I'm grandma, of course, I'm a different part of me. And when people come for hypnosis, for whatever reason, there's a part of them that brought them in there. And there's a part of them that's holding on to the thing that's challenging them. So, you know, it's not like when we're having a challenge that it's all of us, all the parts of us. It's just usually, like you said, Barb, something that's stuck in the past, a part that's holding on to an idea that really can be released. And that part can take on a new job.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, because when they come to you or to me or any other hypnotherapist, they have at least come to the realization that there is some concept that's deeply embedded there that's not serving them well.
Absolutely.
So, you know, whether it be that they have a phobia or whether they just are again and again and again and again, you know, failing in the same place.
Right.
You know,
right.
They feel that every time they attempt something, it's like it never works.
Right.
And so a lot of times they just have to get some insight into that. And, you know, I think a good thing is to really explain that it is self-hypnosis, because all we are is a guide to guide them where they want to go.
Absolutely.
We don't suggest anything to them.
No, and you're completely in control of the whole experience from the beginning to the end.
Mm-hmm. And it's just really amazing how much difference it can make. Habit control particularly. You know, there's a lot of people out there that would love to become non-smoker.
Yes.
You know, and like you said, that when you're working with them, you say, I want to talk to the smoker.
That's right.
And then that part of that person comes forward, and then you can get some insight to what smoking does for them that gives them a benefit that is keeping them smoking.
Absolutely, because those parts that we refer to as the smoker, they really think that they're helping that person. There's not a part within us that doesn't love us unconditionally. But there's things that have been held back because that part doesn't know that this is now and that was then.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that that's the case, regardless of what it is. I wrote in the book that I wrote, Don't Stand There Sucking Your Thumb, You Have Golden Plums at Your Fingertips. In that book, I have a small segment about where we get trapped into something and we stay in a negative situation. And the one thing I say there, as long as it's serving you in some way, as long as you're gaining a benefit in some way, you will stay in a negative situation. There's a benefit coming some way or other in the most negative of situations in your life if you are remaining there.
I agree, and we refer to that as secondary gain.
Yes.
And it's not like the person is holding on to some terrible thing in their life because they're consciously wishing it to be there.
No.
But at a deeper level, like you said, there is a benefit. In most cases, there is some sort of benefit that holds that person in that position that they're not really maybe fully aware of.
It can be so simple. Sometimes that it's just amazing when the penny drops in the well, and that then, in the conversation after a session, they'll say, well, I never would have thought it that way, but it really fits, and they seem to automatically be able to make the changeover.
Mm-hmm. And, we are humans are creatures of habit, and we get into patterns.
We've got Randall from North Delta on the line, on line two. So, hi, Randall.
Good morning.
Are you
Hello.
There? I'm Did here. You want to join into our conversation here?
Yeah, hi, Randall.
Turned off my computer because I didn't want to interfere with it.
Yeah, you just talked to us. And what would you like to add, or what would you like to ask?
Well, I'd like to get a mini reading.
You'd like to get a reading? Oh, well, that's good. We can do that too. Jeannie, do you want to give that a try?
Okay. Is there anything specific that you're wanting to know about tonight, Randall?
Just the near future coming up.
Okay.
If possible. Is there any messages from my guide?
Like in personal or whatever? Or working area?
Okay, go ahead.
I'll just let the guys. I'm not, any messages good.
Okay. As I link with you, Randall, what I'm seeing here, and I get messages like a download. They come in picture form, and then it's like a little mini movie, and then I have to interpret that and then give it to you. It's almost like you're walking down a road right now that's just kind of like a gravel path, and every once in a while there's a rock in the middle of it. I want you to know that where you're going in this next 6 months, there is going to be a few rocks in the road, and they're not rocks that you have to climb over, but you need to watch where you're walking. So what I'm going to tell you first that I'm seeing for you is that this road, you can handle it, but you need to make up your mind. What I'm being told here is that you're not really clear on what you want to do. And when you're putting out that kind of energy and you're confused, then you get confusing results. So what you're being encouraged to do right now is to get some clarity and take one step at a time. And stay in the present moment. Your mind sometimes goes back to the past and leaping into the future, and then you get confused. Can you relate to that?
Yes, I can.
Mm-hmm.
Makes perfect sense.
What's important for you to know right now is, you've got an incredibly strong spirit, like really strong. And it's been, through millennia with you. All you have to do is remember that as soon as you center and take a nice big deep breath and get yourself centered again, you can accomplish and do, you can make your way through anything, absolutely anything. So now, get clear, because as I look down this path, the path's going to take a bit of a turn for you, which is what you really want. You want your life to be different than it is. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah. You can create it. You've got, you're healthy. You've got excellent energy that I'm picking up. A few aches and pains here and there, but nothing serious. So just get yourself centered. Start making decisions and feel good about those decisions. That's where wisdom comes from. Don't be afraid to make a wrong decision. Even though I'm told here that whenever, you know, you've had a few people in your life that had many opinions about what you're doing or should be doing or shouldn't be doing. Is that true?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much so, yes.
Trust yourself. Trust yourself. You are an incredibly strong spirit.
You know, it's really interesting, Randall, as I was sitting listening to Jeannie, I'm doodling with a pencil, and sometimes things come out when I'm doing that, and I've got dot, 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 dash. During Second World War, that was a sign for victory, V for victory. That's the Morse code for the letter V. So whatever's going on, you're going to be victorious over that. So on being able to find your way and find, you know, your passion and your dream and whatnot, you will be victorious over that.
Yeah, really good energy around you, Randall. So I would encourage you now to know within yourself that the pathway is going to take a curve, and that's what you've always wanted. So just be prepared because it's coming soon.
Okay.
Very good. Keep listening, and hopefully you can join in, or did you want to make any comments on the hypnosis thing?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, thanks for calling, Randall.
Yeah, thanks for joining
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye-bye. Well, an interesting fellow, eh?
Mm-hmm. Very, very beautiful energy.
I'm pretty sure I know who that is, but, you know, there could be somebody else with the same name.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know him.
No.
And so that's why it was good that you did the reading. But it was interesting because I'm just sitting here and I was kind of writing down a little bit of what you said. And then all of a sudden I went dot, 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 dash. You know how you put three dots after when you want to emphasize something and there's space in between?
Mm-hmm.
And then I did the three dots and then the dash. And I thought, oh, that's Morse code for victory, V.
Yeah, and one picture that I got is just as he was saying goodbye was I saw him standing with candy floss in his hand. And what that means to me, he really needs to go out and have a little bit more fun.
Oh, good. Well, we'll see if we can arrange that in the universe there, that something comes along and just doesn't keep it all serious, has a little bit of fun.
Right.
That's good, Randall. Thank you for calling. So, Jeannie, it is interesting, though, talking, Randall brought up a topic there that he wanted to know about, you know, what his future would be. And basically, we can only tell what the future is based on what we're seeing, because Randall could put the blanket over his head and not ever, you know, get back into their at all, and just say, I'm not even going down that pathway.
Exactly. And I like to paint the picture of a dandelion. When a dandelion goes gray and you have those little poofy things that you blow.
Yeah.
Well, that dandelion has a center, and all those little pokey things are connected to it. I like that metaphor because that's exactly what it is like in the moment of now. There are millions of potential outcomes. However, there's certain lines or certain little pokey little things where we're sending our energy down, which then gives more energy to a potential outcome.
Exactly.
But you can change your mind. You can turn left instead of right. And once you take yourself in hand and get centered, then you can direct where you want to go rather than just be sending your energy down somewhere that's not going to be for the highest and the best for yourself.
Exactly. You know, the thing is that we could see gold on a pathway, and people could say, well, maybe there's a catch. See gold at their feet, and they could have all kinds of reasons for why they wouldn't pick it up. But it doesn't change the event. It just changes the outcome.
Absolutely.
And so because of what's gone on in anybody's life at a certain point, you've basically put your garden in, and you're going to get the crop that you planted unless you run a tractor through it.
Yeah, exactly.
So we have to take personal responsibility a little bit. But I really felt excited when I got this V for victory. I thought, whoa,
that's
I hope I get that kind of dot, 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 dash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you said about the gold that's on the pathway,
yeah.
How I hear many people, they go, yeah, well, things are great, but when's the other shoe going to fall?
Exactly.
Why on earth give energy to that? That is a perfect example of a part of the person who's holding them back from their highest and their best.
Yeah. I don't know whether it's part of a human makeup that, or what, when we get here, I don't kind of think it should be, but it seems as if we get indoctrinated to the environment in some way to go to the negative quicker than we go to the positive.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's this other thing when people say, well, I'm not going to fall in love. Something might happen to it. Well, my gosh, why did we come to planet Earth? We came here to have a life. And every step along the way is valuable. It creates more experience within the soul.
Well, you know, it's just absolutely marvelous what goes on in the universe. I'll tell you, every time you think you got the answer, something new comes up. And the simplicity of this, and we make it so complicated. That's the thing. It is so simple for us to get ourselves in tune with where we should be directing our energies to help ourselves, and yet we complicate it, think it can't be that easy, I guess.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that, too, is self-love.
Yeah. Okay. Now, really, Jeannie, there is only two emotions, right?
Yes.
There's love and fear.
Fear, yeah.
So, you know, babies, for instance, when they're little, or they will climb up in anything and just walk off an edge. So it tells me that they basically aren't programmed with fear.
No. Unless of course, there might be something extremely traumatic that might have been experienced in a past life.
Yeah, and the thing is, so that most times I think that we're protected with that.
I believe so,
you know,
too.
We have more power to go to the positive, and yet we don't. And I don't know why. It's funny, though. I tell this to my students sometimes. You know, you could be wearing a beautiful pink sweater, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody at work could tell you today, oh, that is an absolute gorgeous pink sweater. It's just lovely, Jeannie. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'd be so happy you bought this pink sweater and you're just really enjoying it. And you go out with some friends in the evening and they say, oh, your pink sweater is just absolutely gorgeous. And then you run into one person you give authority to and they say, well, why did you get that pink sweater? Because it really makes you washed out.
Yeah.
So you go home and burn the pink sweater. Now, what is that?
I know. I'm laughing because it's so true.
Well, we have Gail on the line now from Surrey. Maybe she can tell us why we go to the negative instead of the positive. Hi, Gail.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi.
I'm not sure that I can answer that question for you. I've been told that I am a little bit too realistic. but my question is, for you and Jeannie, is that there's an awful lot of talk these days, you read it in the magazines, whatever, about the Mayan calendar saying that we're supposed to be coming to the end of an era in 2012. And what's your opinion and Jeannie's opinion on what that really means for us or what's going to happen after 2012?
You want to go on that one first, Jeannie? And then, now you have to remember, all of us aren't going to have the same opinion, so I don't know if I'll have the same opinion as Jeannie until she tells us what it is.
Well, I had the advantage of meeting and being close to Paco, who was one of the representatives of the Mayans, who came here about a year ago to talk about 2012. I personally believe that, yes, it is the end of a cycle. And he kept saying that it's not the end of the Earth, it's not the end of humanity, but it is the end of a cycle. And there are cycles within cycles within cycles. Now, we are in for some Earth changes, and Mother Earth has been through those changes through the millennia, and a lot of them are predictable because the planets align. I believe that it just indicates a time where, and they call it the time of no time. And it's interesting how right now, in this time that we're in, we're really not too sure what the future is going to bring. We know that something's happening that's going to be different. I believe we are going to expand our consciousness in many, many different ways that is going to happen to us whether we are ready for it or not. Do I think it's the end of the Earth? No way. No, I don't. Absolutely not.
Well, I tend to agree with you on that point, Jeannie. I think that what we're dealing with is changes. We can even see it. It's not only changes of what's going on in our Earth itself with the earthquakes, for one, and the shifting, and we don't know what that's doing. But I don't think it's going to be the end of the world as much as it's going to be the end of the way we've been dealing with the globe, the world, because we're more global than we were. So everything that affects, say, some group down in Taiwan, that it's going to affect us, and Japan's economy is going to affect our economy. And I think we may be going to find that we're going to have to start getting more global and thinking about the whole Earth as being prosperous, what's going to be prosperous and best for the whole group of people who are living together here, which is very hard to think that they'll ever come together like that. And kind of forget about borders, that we're Canada, that's the States, this one's Japan, that one's China. I think eventually we're going to find that we need to be dependent on each other, and that's possibly going to be what's going to come. That'll be a world change.
Yeah, and Paco did speak quite a bit about the alignment of planets and the effect that it has on the planet and on us.
Does that help you, Gail, or what's your opinion?
Well, I think that what you said is valid as far as my own. I don't know the astronomy that they're talking about as far as alignment of planets, or whether it's a different alignment that they haven't seen in 5,000 years or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I was sort of hoping that it would be more an idea, if you're familiar with the 100th monkey story.
Yeah.
Where the consciousness will rise among so many different groups of people that all of a sudden that it will be there for everyone. Like once you reach that critical mass,
yeah,
of people projecting love for one another,
okay,
that it'll just be everywhere. That's what I'm hoping. I'm not sure that that's what's going to happen.
Well,
but
I think that's the direction that it seems to be going, because I think when we have massive tragedies like we've had with in the three earthquakes that we've had in the last short while, and looking at Japan and that tsunami and all of that stuff, and just how devastating that is, we are going to, and some of these wars that are going on, or these uprisings with the people in their own country that, you know, they have a group that are there that are rich, and then the rest of them are poor, or they have no money, their economy's gone flat, and they're saying we want the kings to resign or the dictator to resign. But you can see the need for everybody to kind of say, look, we're all in this same boat, let's do something more global. And because of the internet, that has really brought us really close.
And I do believe in the 100th monkey, Gail. Yeah. And it's as
long as... I'm sorry, what was that you said?
I do believe in the 100th monkey syndrome. And it's connected also to that sending a blessing to the water.
Yeah, and that's...
That struck me as being an extremely powerful thing for people to do, that we were all sending healing messages to the water from those nuclear plants. And I'm hopeful that we'll see some positive results from that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to make a consciousness, because the real truth is we can see how that's polluting the waters. But, you know, I went back to school in 70, and it graduated in 72. And during that time, the biology teachers were talking about the detergents that we're using. And those detergents, it's basically, this is how it works out. The chemical that we throw in the water from these detergents that don't break down is like us living in our own discharge, because that green life that's in the bottom of those oceans, that's the discharge that they give off. That's what is taken away from them, and they don't want to be living in their own manure, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we've been doing those kind of things. We need to apologize to the water, to the land. I mean, even back when I was young, the DDT that they used to use, by that, you know, little quart or jar, it was like a canning jar, but a small one, they screwed the top on that and they sprayed DDT all throughout the house to get rid of the mosquitoes and things. We inhaled those things. We're putting that type of stuff in our food. You know, we're the ones that have come on this earth for a very short time, and we got to be really conscious of what we're doing. And I think this water, you know, with the contamination that's going on over there right now, and we're praying for that, we need to understand we're doing just as much here by putting that stuff in the waters. You know, and we're doing a lot of...
I agree.
Throw, you know, change the oil on our car and throw it. Oh, I have no place to put it. Oh, it won't hurt. My little bit's not going to hurt the drain. Well, yeah,
do you think that the planet can continue to support our highly technological civilization?
Well, you know, we can't even seem to get along with our next-door neighbor. And all the spiritualist churches, alone can't get along. And let alone what all the so-called, you know, other doctrines can't, you know, they just can't see us at all. But even our own people can't see us, you know. So we really have to change what's going on. And if this doesn't wake us up and give us a scare, you know, it's almost like you kind of think to yourself, maybe God in his great wonder is giving the rattle a shake.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's a wake-up call for all of us to start looking at the fact that, you know, it's going to affect everybody.
The world
it gets into the waters, it's going to affect everybody. Look at that, when the oil went off, you know, offshore there. That's enough to scare the living bejeebers out of you.
Yeah. Yeah, in the Gulf Coast. In the Gulf.
Yeah.
It's still leaking, but they're not telling us that.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that we're not being told. If we knew it, we'd probably go crazy.
Yeah.
But the only thing we can do is not embrace on the negative part of it, and, you know, say, okay, you know, let's pray that this doesn't happen. Like we were saying, oh, well, this is going to a terrible thing that could happen. Well, instead of saying what could happen, you know, in 2012, oh, you know, the sky is falling, Chicken Little, and you're going to have something fall out of the tree and say, well, I know it's falling now because I got a piece of it hit me on the head. You know, so one little thing goes on, and then everybody just jumps on that bandwagon. See, we told you it's going to start shaking the world apart, and we're going to have the end of the world, you know. And we should really, with the intelligence that we have, be concentrating on making it not happen, not having people by the thousands having a panic mode.
Exactly.
Because they could create it.
Yeah, I plan on being here for at least another 100 years.
Well, I'm thinking about that myself.
Only if I'm healthy.
Yeah.
Well, you know, as long as I have as good a mind as I have now, and I'm not saying how good that is. But no, I'm telling you, it's quite a conversation to get into. And thanks for bringing that up, by the way. Because
thanks, Gail.
You know, yeah,
well,
certainly
I mean,
something we need to address, Gail. People need to know about this.
A lot of people mention it on the internet and in magazines and whatever. And so I just thought I would see what your opinions of all of this resolving in a loving manner as opposed to a destructive manner.
Well, you know what, Gail? I think maybe we should get on the internet and put out maybe a website or something and say, no, Chicken Little, the sky is not falling.
That's right.
You know, and get something out there that says, come on, you know, if you're going to embrace something, it's like being fearful. I'm afraid of falling. You know, I'm afraid of falling. You'll fall, sure as God, me little apples. Because you're so hard, you know, trying so hard not to fall, you will.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can still remember then when the year 2000 started, there was an awful lot of Y2K hysteria, and it definitely was a fizzle.
Exactly. And the real truth, here's what I look at. Now, you know, maybe I look at it from a scientific mind, but I look at the fact is when did they start these dates from?
Yeah.
So how do we know this is 2012 coming up?
Well, I'm assuming that it's an astronomical date, that it's based on positions of the stars at a certain time. I haven't followed that enough, but that was my assumption. When they talk about the Mayan calendar, they're actually talking about the position of stars at a certain point in time that they can measure.
Yeah, that is my understanding as well.
Yeah, that's what I understand, too. But, you know, when we're talking about the computer with 2000, when it was going to, the millennium, well, what are we counting from? You know, it's 2000 in what we believe it was 2000, but maybe it meant nothing to the universe. Because there's no time in the universe outside of the physical. So I think we just have to start being responsible people and try to do the best we can and try to love people and whatever. You know, see what. But I sure hate the theory that, you know, I was heard today where somebody commented that it was, you know, it's their fault for building these things of war and all the, you know, their payment. I hate this kind of thing because that's the kind of thing that goes on in sick minds, you know.
Yeah,
it's just not good stuff. And we should be embracing the positive stuff, not the negatives anyway.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Gail. Oh,
thank you, my darling, for giving us a call.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Gail. Bye-bye. Well, that was interesting, Jeannie.
Yeah. And I think it is time that we start to understand how we can co-create our future in a different way. The world couldn't carry on the way it's going.
Well, so, you know, the thing is, you keep using the ground and the waters.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be able to produce what we need to eat, for one thing.
Exactly.
You know, and what we are doing with, you know, with some of the stuff there where it's absorbing it from the soil. I can remember when we had a farm and we used a weed killer that killed off the grass around between the plants, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about it. Did it absorb into the plant that we were trying to get to live when it rained and it took the water up through its roots? Did it not take some of that toxic stuff into itself?
Oh, absolutely. I would
say. See, we weren't knowledgeable of those things.
No.
And we have no idea. But now that we are, you know, let's use that knowledge on a positive vein and not be getting all worried about it negatively. We're learning something every day.
Yeah, and between you and I, Barb, we've got a ton of grandchildren, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
And
we have quite a few, and I've got great grandkids now. And I really believe in the survival of the species. You know, if you go back in biology, and even when there is something comes along and it will kill off a whole pile of a certain organism, some of them will survive.
Yeah. And I believe.
there's going to be some survival of the species, and they're going to maybe learn from our ignorance. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. But well, with the grandchildren, I would just encourage all young people to, you know, we are a high tech society, but that, you know, if the lights go out, then what are you going to do? It is worth losing, learning to at least put a seed in the ground and plant it and see it grow, because you may need that one day.
Well, you know, it's a, what's an interesting thing in biology is when I was in the biology class, I found out a very interesting thing about owls.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an instinct built into animals that tells them what they should or shouldn't do. There is in us, too, but the problem is we were given this so-called intelligence and the ability to question. But an owl, if it is a certain season, it will lay between 1 and 3 eggs. And, or it'll lay 3 eggs, but it'll hatch between 1 and 3 of those eggs, depending on the rodent population. If there's a high rodent population, the owl will hatch all 3 to keep the balance of the rodents down. And if it's a low rodent population, it'll only hatch 1 because that's all that can be fed without stripping the land.
We need that switch turned on in us, eh?
Yeah, and we do have the ability to tune into that instinct of knowledge
mm-hmm.
about what is good for the universe, that we have a lot of other things with this freedom of choice and jealousies and a lot of other things that go on, and possessiveness and fear.
Yeah.
That stop us from being all that we can be, you know? So mm-hmm. we have to really take a look at that.
I agree, absolutely.
You know, and start being as smart as the owl.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting. We are the center of our own world, but there's a big difference about being the center of your own world and being self-centered.
Oh, exactly.
And like you were saying earlier, it is time that we start to see ourselves globally, and that doesn't mean from a political perspective.
No.
That means that we each have beating hearts. We want to love and be loved. We have families. We have this very short life on this beautiful planet. And you can't take your so-called stuff with you. So, you know, the greed is only, to me, someone who's extremely greedy is extremely insecure.
Well, that's exactly what it is. They
yeah.
have to have things to secure them. That, you know, they have to have things. It's
yeah.
interesting. We have no pockets in our spirit.
Yeah.
I didn't ever hear about a spirit pocket.
No. I like.
And somehow or other, we can't just store it someplace and think that we're going to come back and dig it up.
I like that movie Cocoon. Where did you see Cocoon, Barb?
Yes.
That beautiful being took off its skin, and there was this magnificent, beautiful being of light.
Yeah.
And that's really what I believe that we are. We are beautiful beings of light,
yeah.
every single one of us.
And just like a spark in the universe, which joined together makes the magnificent energy that is called the creative energy.
You bet.
It's all part of that. So that part of us is what part of us that is God.
I think we're walking into very, very interesting times, as they say,
mm-hmm.
but something that we can't handle, and which will, I trust and have faith, brings us closer together, which is really the intention, to understand that we are all one in that divine principle.
Exactly. So what are you doing these days? As far as working and things like that?
Well, I'm still taking clients for hypnotherapy at West Coast Hypnosis. If anybody wants to visit my site, I'm at westcoasthypnosis.ca. And mm-hmm. I'm teaching 2 classes a month of hypnotherapists. So I'm very much enjoying that. However, it does cut into the weekends. But I love that.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, though, is that you do some work for the other organizations and bring your knowledge to them. And we thank you for coming to Inner Garden when you come and give us some insight to what's going on. We have Barry online, too. We'll catch him before we have to cut him off. Hi, Barry.
Hi, how are you, ladies?
Barry.
You seem to have touched every subject I could think of tonight.
Well, we just thought we'd kind of have a hodgepodge and let everybody jump in.
Is that
I was just going to comment on the I had years ago somebody hypnotized me, and her name was Dorothy Gregus. So she passed on now.
Yes, she has.
If you, I don't know if you remember or not.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But
yep.
She hypnotized me and took me into past life regressions.
Mm-hmm.
And how was that for you?
And that was years and years ago, I guess. But took me into four lives, and that was fascinating when I realized that every one of them I had been in one way or another an advisor to an emperor. And I was in Asia, and and I'm not Asian, and. The fellow that I was working with and had, we sort of worked together and then we didn't work together and we fought and everything else, was this particular party. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a history all through this lifetime of that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The interesting thing with that, Barry, I find, is that regardless of what that is, in some people's opinions, it's different what they think that regression is, because you can also do progression, which is really interesting. It brings you something. Now, can you recall when you did these, if there was something that it helped you with in touch with those experiences?
Well, I think what it did was it made things make sense.
Okay,
like the reason why certain things have happened in this particular lifetime with the two between him and myself,
mm-hmm.
Actually made sense, and it mm-hmm. finally gave me an actual thought process to deal with why we would like each other and hate each other and do very well. You know, I made millions of dollars, and yet, we were never close or anything. It was just a weird relationship, and it finally made everything make sense.
I think that's what it's all about, really. I can recall one particular time that this lady was on a TV interview with me, and there was a number of us being interviewed. And she had said that, now quote, she said, "I used to be a rich, in the last life, and so I'm going to be poor for the rest of this life because I misused my money." And I said, "Bull cookies."
And
she kind of
took
a step back, and the person interviewing us said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" And I said, "Well, it doesn't really work that way because if that's the case, she might as well shoot herself and get to the next life." Basically,
right.
What it's supposed to do is give you some insight into what you learn from that experience, whether it's other life experience, a past life experience. What did you learn from that you can use in this life? And if you're going to, if she's going to use that as an excuse for failure, she's just discounted that any positive thinking is going to work and whether there is a God in heaven. So I said, what I think these experiences are for is to give us some insight into maybe something that's going to help us in this life. And if it's not, then it's not serving us well.
That's right.
I
think it's extremely positive.
It is. Yeah. And it should be extremely positive because if...
taking the hypnotherapy or something is just fascinating. I was wide awake, and yet all this stuff came out, and I still, when I even thinking back now, it's still, I just can't believe it happened.
And it's so clear, isn't it? I mean,
yeah, very clear.
Not like a memory that maybe you had at that time in your everyday workaday world, which can fade, but that one will be so clear, sharp, and it won't leave your memory.
That's right.
It will be so almost as if you just had it done yesterday.
That's right. It's just like I was, when I think back at it, anytime I think of it, it was just almost like I just did that yesterday, and you know, this and this happened, and boy, that was cool. And I hesitated to doing it for years.
Yeah,
but I recommend
sure.
everybody do it. I think it's great.
Well, you know, a lot of people say
your show. It's certainly covered an awful lot of topics.
Good. And it's almost over too.
Yes,
I know. So I'll get off the air and let's just finish
good.
Up.
Barry,
thanks
for listening to us.
For having the show, and I enjoy it very much.
Oh, good.
Thanks.
Thank you
bye.
For calling in, too.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. He's an interesting gentleman, eh?
Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, some of the people are going to differ in what that is, other life experience, past life experience, whatever word they want to put on it. But we know there is a connection with being able to link with other experiences, whatever they are. We're in the body right now that's Jeannie and Barbara, but, you know, if they're going to serve us well, how good was that going to be?
Exactly.
But if we're going to use them as crutches and excuses, Jeannie, what good would that be?
Yeah, and I want to say something, too, about this idea of karma that's always disturbed me. It's like, if I killed someone in my last lifetime, and therefore the karma would be somebody kills me in this lifetime, well, let's just set that person up for karma to get killed in the next lifetime. It's not like that. It's just like you say, it's to learn.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Here's the way that I look at it. If in actual fact, you and I believe that you do, that it's almost like we were sitting on a cloud before we came, and we're shown what we needed to do. You maybe had another dimension of yourself sitting there, which is your guide or your guardian. And you two of you said, okay, God, we can do this. You know, this is simplistic. And so there you go. You come down here. If that's the case, we had that choice. So did a mass murderer, a serial killer, or whatever. We may not know why, but that was in their plan. And if they chose not to do it, then somewhere along the line it was going to be done. But they've carried that out. Now, when they go back to spirit, my belief is that spirit, when you go back, you die, and you go back to spirit, just a spiritual self, you are in a final healing. That's where we go back to pure what we were. And so it's not for us. I think this is why we're told not to judge. Because if in actual fact we chose all these walks, maybe, you know, somebody who chose to do that as my mother chose to be who she was, I say thank you to her now for giving me the experience I had.
Yeah.
You know, so
When you can unhook from something that you think is holding you back and bless it, that doesn't mean that you have to have agreed with it, but if
or
you can
condone it
and bless it, then
you're not condoning it when you forgive it and bless it.
Right.
And you're not in any way saying it's the way it should, you know, that the person should have acted that way, but that's maybe the best that they knew. Anyway, Jeannie, looks like we're getting up to the top of the hour there. They're going to be wanting to put somebody else on.
You bet.
So I thank you very much.
Thank you, Barb.
And they can go to your website. They can go to innergarden.com and see what we're up to, see our videos of our shows. And I want to thank BBS Radio for allowing us to come on and have these programs and be able to voice our own opinion.
Absolutely.
How great is that?
Absolutely.
Thank God we're in a country where we can do that.
Yep.
So God bless you, darling, and we'll talk to you next week, next time.
Bless you and to everyone out there.
Okay, and tune in 2 weeks from tonight.
You bet.
God bless.
Bye-bye.